Hello, welcome to the podcast, The Path of the Polyglot. I am your host, Adam. Today, we're going to take a look at another endangered language, or a group of languages, actually, called the Ainu. Many people think that immigration is a new thing, or think that immigration is connected to only particular areas of the world. But people have been immigrating to different places for the beginning of humanity, right? If people weren't by nature immigrants, then we would have stayed in Africa. And I think the Japanese islands are a good example of this, because native Japanese people are not actually the aboriginal inhabitants of the Japanese islands. It's a mystery where exactly they come from, but the aboriginal inhabitants of the islands were the Ainu, and they spoke either one language with many dialects, and again, it's kind of hard to say what exactly a dialect or a language is, or many different languages. We know for certain it was spoken on the northern island of Hokkaido, the southern half of the island of Sakhalin, and that is the island that is owned by Russia now. The Kuril Islands, which are a group of islands that stretch from the northern part of Japan to the Kamchatka Peninsula, and the southern tip of the Kamchatka Peninsula. And there's also evidence that if you look through place names, there's evidence that the Ainu were living in all of the Japanese islands. There's many different kinds of languages of Ainu, but it's hard to say because there's only one that exists now, and it's spoken by about 15,000 people. But according to what we know, Hokkaido and Sakhalin Ainu were not mutually intelligible. There was a Rechishka dialect on the western coast of Sakhalin near Ugalegorsk, and there's actually a grammatical description left of that language. But the last speaker of Sakhalin Ainu died in 1994, and that was Take Asai. The Sakhalin dialects had long vowels and a final H phoneme, which they pronounced as ch. So Hokkaido Ainu was clustered into several dialects with many differences. There was the neck of the island, the classical Ainu of central Hokkaido around Sapporo and the southern coast, Samani, which was on the southeastern cape in Hidaka, and that was closest to the northern dialect and the north-central dialect, and Soya on the northwestern cape, so four or five different kinds of dialects or even different kinds of languages. And again, we don't have a lot of information, but European visitors to Sakhalin in the 19th and 20th centuries also said that there was a great deal of linguistic variety in the Ainu languages. It's also, like I said, on mainland Japan, which is weird to say mainland because clearly they're islands, but there were people called the Imishi people, and it's believed that they, on the island of Honshu, and they were believed to be Ainu as well. And like I said previously, that's because of the place names of Ainu origins in both locations, and there's this ending, Betsu, which is common to many northern Japanese place names. And this is from the Enyu River Pet, Enyu word Pet, which means river. And so names ending in this B-E, or some combination of that, are also thought to be of Enyu origin, like Honshu and Chubu, and Kurobe and Oyabe rivers in Toyama Prefecture. So other place names in Kanto and Chubu, such as Mount Ashigara in Kanagawa, Shizukoa, and that's the place, the Japanese place, and Musashi in modern Tokyo, Kenta Shrine, and Noko Peninsula don't have any explanation in Japanese, but they do have some explanation in Enyu. And the Matagi hunters of the mountain forests of Tohoku have many Enyu words in their hunting vocabulary. So the Japanese came, and these Emishi migrated north, and so the Enyu in southern Hokkaido appear to be some kind of mixture of this group. So there's not really any information about what linguistic group Enyu belongs to, so we don't really know. Several theories connect them to Japanese, actually, but it seems that the Japanese have always had an imperial relationship to the Enyu, so it's more likely, although I don't have any evidence, but it's more likely that the Japanese came as conquerors to the Japanese islands many, many centuries ago, thousands of years ago, and kept that basic attitude towards them, because if they were neighbors, you would think that there would be, not that there wouldn't be any conflict, but that they would have much more cultural interactions, I guess, is what I want to say. And there is an attempt to resurrect Enyu, in Hokkaido especially. And this is mainly due to a man named Siguro Kanyanu, who was a native speaker of that language. So there's language classes, and there are some young people learning Enyu. And we'll see if they're able to resurrect the language or not. But there are efforts on Hokkaido to do so. Okay, so here is some of an example of Enyu. And this is from the Wikitongues project, and it's Teruyu speaking Enyu. Okay, so that was her speaking, and there's some very funny comments about You can read it on YouTube, but it's funny because there's one comment like, she doesn't speak with an Anu accent. She speaks with a Japanese accent, and I would have loved to hear Anu from a native speaker, but all of them are dead. It's not actually true. There's about 15,000 people who speak Anu in Hokkaido. I mean, it's a dying language, definitely, but there are people who speak it. But that whole attitude is crazy. It's because you don't know. You just said that everybody who spoke it is dead, but you're able to judge a person's accent by saying it was not Anu enough, which is weird. There's a lot of problems with that kind of attitude. Maybe she was a second language learner of Anu, and instead of being like, oh, wow, this is horrible, I can't understand, you know, it's too Japanese, why not just listen to her and listen to the way that she's speaking? Yeah, so that is enough about Anu, I think. I will do a little bit of a recap of my polyglottic adventures this week. So, on Memrise, I'll tell you where I'm at. I am now doing the second Spanish course. I'm doing an intro to Anishinaabemowin. Is that the title? No, sorry. It's intro to Anishinaabemowin Gizishu Mazinaiga. Or basically, Nishinaabe. And why am I doing that? Well, I'm going to save that for a separate episode and talk about it, but generally, when I was in university, I did two courses with Shirley Johnson, who is an Odawa elder, and she was teaching Anishinaabe to students, and it was kind of sad because there were maybe 14 people in her class the first year and 8 people in her class in Trent University, which is really, it has a big native community. But anyway, it's a native language from Canada, and it's spoken, or used to be spoken, over a very broad area, and now is spoken probably by a couple of hundred or less than 100 people as native speakers. Doing Japanese, Russian, basic Latin, conversational Ukrainian, Korean, Ladin, social Montenegrin, Slovenian, Romanian, Turkish, Patois, I love Patois, as I mentioned earlier, Croatian, Dutch, Aromanian, Esperanto, Scots, Swedish, Old Norse, another Croatian course, Czech, Dutch, Luxembourgish, Afrikaans, Norwegian, Italian, Brazilian Portuguese, and another crazy language that I'm going to talk about maybe someday too on the minority language or the endangered language section is Wimysoris, which is actually native to Poland and but is a Germanic language, Ladin. And yeah, that's basically it. Serbian and another Scots course. What did I want to give you as some linguistic advice this week? So my linguistic advice is, I had a student who was saying that, you know, the course we learn, you know, is completely stupid because people speak a different way when you get to, when you're living in England or something like that. And he was talking about the difference between standard English and slang. So there is always a difference between the standard language that you're learning and slang you might learn. So the reason you learn standard language and not slang is because you want to be able to speak to as many people as possible. I'm not saying that you don't learn slang. If, for example, you're learning a language because you want to go to Spain and you want to live in Spain and you want to live in Valladolid, period, for example, then you need to be able to speak in slang because that's the way that they speak. But if you're learning Spanish because you want to communicate with Spanish people in business, then slang is not necessary for you, right? You don't really need it. So it all goes back to why you need to learn a language. And that's all. Anyway, if you have questions or comments, or maybe you speak Ainu or you're learning Ainu, please leave a comment on the Facebook page, The Path of the Polyglot, and click like, and I will read it. You can also contact me on Twitter at Adam Todd Leverton. If you'd like to support the podcast financially, you can go to patreon.com/Leverton, and your money will help with hosting of the podcast, and with research, and with basically making me more polyglot, becoming a better polyglot. So if you want to advertise on any podcasts that I have, and I have several, I have this one, I have a podcast about English grammar, about English vocabulary, I have one about hockey history, about world hockey, you can go to advertisecast.com/1808, and you can find some information about advertising campaigns there. So thank you very much, and goodbye.